Hallelujah. Now, but before the rapture, we have to look at something briefly. The events that takes place just before the rapture. I'm teaching. Listen very well. Just before the rapture, there are things that will take place. They are in this Bible. It's an agenda. Just before the rapture, there will be a restoration ministry. That one is certain. That is sure. Because Apostle Paul himself gave that prophecy in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 3, that the coming of the Lord shall not come until there come a fall away first. And that fall away has been on. And that fall away, praise the Lord. How did that fall away begin? It began in the fulfillment of another parable that we see Jesus himself gave in Matthew chapter 13 and verse 33. He said, the kingdom of heaven, that is the church age period, it's known as the kingdom of heaven, is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal till the whole was leavened. That is the, you know, the fall away, the beginning of the fall away. That is the beginning of the fall away. If you have listened to me before, listen to me now again, no, because every day as I read this Bible, the thing becomes clearer and clearer and clearer and clearer. Did you notice that in what I am saying, did you notice that I didn't mention William Branham yet? I have not. Because I'm coming to the scripture that he fulfills. Contrary to so many things we have been saying before. That's why I say, listen very well. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We misplace scriptures because we just quote as parrots. That's why we cannot even defend what we say and claim to be in the message. But anything I say, I have scriptures to defend it. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. That's why I say, listen very well. I'm going somewhere. Because the fall away did not start with Pentecostalism. The fall away did not start with Pentecostalism. Oh, because that's what we thought. It's smart. You open eyes and look at me. It didn't start with Pentecostalism. It started from Matthew 13, from that verse 33, the activation of that parable where a woman took leaven. Leaven there is false doctrine. Mixed it with three measures of meal. The three measures of meal are the three works of grace: justification, sanctification, and the baptism of the Holy Ghost. A woman. Who is that woman? It is the woman in Revelation chapter 17. It is the Catholic Church. Hallelujah. Until the whole meal was corrupted, and people, till today, many people are still in that error. But the coming of the Lord will not come until there is a restoration. There will be a restoration. What is this restoration? The coming of the Lord. Hallelujah. Because even concerning this mixture, if you read that 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, Apostle Paul in verse 7 then said, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work. That is how Satan came into the church and took over and brought darkness to the church. The gospel as presented to us by the apostle was hijacked. And it became mixed. The leaven there is when idolatry and Christianity mixed together. I'm speaking history. Praise the Lord. It's what everybody knows. Even the Catholics themselves, they know.
Hallelujah.
Then, Apostle Paul was now telling us in the book of Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 16. Let's read it. In fact, let's read it from verse 13. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse. From verse 13, let's pick this thing very orderly. And please catch this picture, for I believe this is the perfect picture. He said, but I will not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, those who have died, our brethren are dead, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him, because he's coming back. For this we say unto you, by thus saith the Lord, the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. This is how the Lord will come. Listen very well. If you are hearing me for the first time, there's always somebody hearing me for the first time. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. This is the order. He will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Verse 17. Then we, this is the order, we, those in the grave, they will rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. So Apostle Paul is giving us the order of the coming of the Lord. And this coming is coming to take us home. He will come with a shout, the voice of the archangel, and a trump. And it is not a simultaneous occurrence of shout, the voice, the trump, the cry. Everybody jump. No. It's a process. There is a time lag between the shout and the voice of the archangel. And also the trump. There are three different periods with three different activities. The first stage is the shout. That is what Apostle Paul said. Now the second, Jesus himself mentioned about this same stage. It is the ministry of restoration. He mentioned it concerning the parable of the virgins in Matthew chapter 25. In Matthew 25, where, 10 virgins went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 were foolish, 5 were wise. The first 5 had their lamps, they carried their lamps to go. And the lamp there is the Bible, the word of God. And then, one had oil, enough oil, the other one didn't have enough oil. The wise ones had enough oil. The foolish one didn't have enough oil. And because the bridegroom tarried, all the virgins plus foolish and the wise one, they all slept. At midnight, there was a cry made. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. What is the message? Go ye out and meet him. That is the end time message. When did it take place? When is that period of gross darkness? That period of gross darkness was that period that Catholicism took control of the church. For almost 1,000 years, according to the history, the restoration ministry, the coming of the Lord, begins with a midnight cry or a shout. and the shout is, come out of her. And who was the first person that preached the message of come out of her? Who was the person? Luther. Luther started the shout. Hallelujah. Come out of her. Because there will be a restoration. Hallelujah. The shout, therefore, amen, began with the awakening of the wise virgins from their slumber, from their sleep. And that shout has been going on till now. Luther started the shout. And we know the history. That began the Protestant movement. John Wesley continued with what he had. It's what you hear, you shout. Luther had his own. The church shall live by faith. It was God's process of returning again those three works of grace, those three measures of meal that we are corrupted by that woman. Justification, Martin shouted, Luther shouted it. The second one to be put was what? Sanctification by John Wesley. That was the one he shouted it out. Without holiness, no man will see God. Holiness, holiness, holiness. And then, the third work of grace was the restoration, hallelujah, of the gifts in Azusa Street Revival, 1906, by Simon. And notice, every age had foolish virgins. Every one of them. All of them, the foolish virgins began from Luther. They all woke up, but some had oil, some did not have enough oil. So, if you had enough oil, you will have noticed John Wesley. And because you did not have enough oil, your lamp was not sharp enough for you to see, say, it is God moving there with the doctrine of sanctification. And because you didn't move, they pack you as firewood. The door is closed. And then they move forward. And the life was moving forward. And including the Wesleyans, they could not accept the gifts when it was restored. They saw the Pentecostals as some mad people, people with some psychiatric problem. And they remained statues. Because some of them did not have enough oil. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That shout is still on now. Where is the ministry of William Branham then? This is where I see the ministry of William Branham. Matthew chapter 13. In Matthew chapter 13, there is something there. There are seven parables there. I have told you that those seven parables, they were speaking of the seven church ages, variously presented to confirm the agenda of God for the Gentiles. And so, the seven parables spoken, then we come to verse 52. Matthew 13 and verse 52. There's something there. Then said he unto them, after he has spoken all the parables, the seven churches, then said he unto them, therefore, every scribe, listen, which is instructed unto the kingdom of heaven. This is how you will identify them. This is the identity. It's like unto a man. Somebody shout a man. Say it again. A man that is an householder, which bringeth forth out of his treasures things new and old. Now,
This verse 52 is the ministry of William Branham. Listen very well. If you have not heard me before. Verse 52. Amen. Verse 52 is the ministry of William Branham. Take note. I've said it before and I'll continue to say it. There is nothing new William Branham brought forth. Listen. There is no revelation that William Branham brought. Don't be deceived by these idolaters who claim that they are followers of the ministry of William Branham, know nothing about that ministry or what God was doing through that ministry. Mention one revelation. I have been saying it. None of them has called me to give me one. If you don't know, if you don't call, you ask for my phone number. I will give you. You are hearing me from all over the world. You are seated here now. Give me one revelation that William Branham brought that was not preached before William Branham. Seven church ages was preached by Clarence Larkins, including when you talk about the Antichrist to be revealed, 666. It is the Seventh Day Adventist. It's even a woman, Ellen G. White, their leader, that brought it out. Yes, before the ministry of William Branham started. There's another group known as the Oneness. They baptize in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not William Branham that brought the revelation of baptism in the name of Jesus. It's not. Tell me again. The revelation of the seals were preached. And William Branham picked the same revelation and brought it out again. So, what did he bring? And let me say it quickly. I have made the same statement. I have made the same revelation. But I stand again on the same platform that I made that revelation to correct myself, where I made that same mistake. I say, before William Branham came, nobody knew anything about the interpretation of those seals until the angel came and visited William Branham. It's a lie. It's a lie, yo! Because I have the book that William Branham quoted from. You see why they would not like me, those idolaters. Who want to look at William Branham beyond the ministry God gave him? It's a liar. If you come across this ministry and you still enter error, it's because you are ordained to doom. Ordained for that. At the risk of being alienated from other people, I speak what I speak. At the risk or being labeled, whatever it is, they will call me. I speak what I speak, even at the risk of losing friends. There's nothing. And up to this moment, none of them has come to meet me. They will grumble behind, but meet me now and come and correct me. I will show you the book. I will show you what William Branham said and what those books are saying, and tell me that he's the only one that knew about it. He's not the only one. There were dispensationalists that saw it. But this is where the ministry of William Branham is. And that is what makes him the star messenger to this age. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Every denomination, when they had a shout, the restoration ministry, we started from the days of Luther. Everyone caught a light. John Wesley's group, they caught a light. Luther caught a light. They are called the reformers. There were people that caught a light. The Presbyterians caught a light. The Baptists caught a light. The Oneness people who baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, they caught a light. And there were scriptural lights Some accept all but reject eternal security. Some accept eternal security but reject the ministry of the Spirit of God, the gifts of the Holy Ghost. Some, they pick this, they drop this. They pick this, they drop this. But God raised a man according to verse 52 where we read, that picked the old and the new and presented it together in totality. Because it is a total restoration. Hallelujah. He brought that of Baptist. He said, you are correct. But you must also believe Pentecost. You must believe the gifts. Baptism is in the name of Jesus. No Father, Son, Holy Ghost. According to the oneness, they are correct. That was his message. And he brought everything together and said that that revelation that Ellen G. White gave concerning the Antichrist is correct. The Antichrist, this is his address with the same calculation. He showed it to us. What is his ministry? He brought it together and gave us a complete word. The complete word. The complete word. That is the ministry of William Marion Branham. And he becomes the seventh star messenger. Then you can go and the stars in verse 20 of Revelation chapter 1, he said, they are the angels to the seven churches. Therefore, they are angels. Then you can understand, if he is the angel to the seventh church age, then he fulfills Revelation chapter 10 verse 7. In the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, hallelujah, then what did he say? The mystery of God. The mystery of God. One mystery of God should be finished, will be rounding up as he has declared to his servant the prophets. That's why we believe that Revelation 10:7 has a dual fulfillment. Because it fulfills the seventh trumpet angel and it also fulfills the seventh star angel. When he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished as he has revealed to his servant, the prophet. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Which mystery? It is that mystery of the salvation of the Gentiles that Apostle Paul told us in Romans chapter 11 and verse 24. Romans chapter 11 verse 24. Concerning the grafting of the Gentiles. This is the way he put it. For if thou were cut out of the olive tree, which is wild, because we are all idolaters, we didn't know anything about the true God, wild by nature, and we are grafted contrary to nature, that is what the mystery is. I've emphasized it before, in case you are hearing me for the first time, I'm repeating it. We are grafted contrary to nature into a good olive tree. He added, how much more shall these, the Israel, the Jews, which be the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? Trying to let you know that salvation is for the Jews. Originally, it's for the Jews. But this is what God did. God himself is the vine. And we are the branches. He had one branch, and that was the only branch he had on earth. And that was the Jews. They were supposed to live by every word that proceeded forth from the mouth of the vine. For ye are the branches, and I am the vine. As the branch cannot abide without the vine, so also you without me, you can do nothing. John 15 says so. Praise the Lord. And if you're hearing me for the first time, so I'm emphasizing it. And he's saying that For you to understand salvation, Israel, that branch was cut off. And we, that a branch from a wild olive tree, wild one, wild, very wild. See what they are doing with anointing now? See what they are doing in the name of the Lord? That wild nature they carry it into church. No fear of God. They cut them off and then we are grafted there. And we spoke about the grafting process. The natural way of grafting. Amen. The natural way of grafting. When you cut in the citrus family, that should be the citrus family. Maybe you bring a guava branch from a tree, cut a guava branch and bring it to a mango tree. Scrape the side of it. Graft it there, that is, gum it there. Put it there. It will live, it will not die. Do you know why? Because it is sucking from the nourishment of the main tree, the mango tree. Other branches are sucking from the same thing. He too, he come in and grafted there. It will come there and be receiving life. And it will receive life according to nature. The law of grafting, according to nature, when it grows and it is time for it to bear fruit, it will not bear fruit of the tree it was grafted into, the mango tree. According to nature, very interestingly, that is nature for you. It will bear the tree, the fruit of the tree they cut from. It will bear the guava. That is nature. Try it, you will see it. You will expect that if you put it here, since it is receiving power, anointing, and everything from here, you will expect that in the name of the Lord Jesus, in the name of the Lord Jesus, in the name of power, fire, Holy Ghost, fire. But when it is time to give fruit, see the life he's living. But that is nature. Because you are not original branch. You are not original branch. The foundation of God standeth sure. Having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. He said, oh, that on top of the earth, they will look upon the Antichrist. They will worship him. Only those whose names are written in the book of life, they are the only ones that will not worship the beast. When were the names written in the book of life? The day you gave your life to Christ? No! From the foundation of the... what? They are the original. Oh, glory be to God. They are the original, the mystery of redemption. So that should not, you know, make you wonder that you see somebody anointed and is living like a devil. He is crafted according to nature. You are to give forth fruit according to the spirit that is in you. By their fruit, you will know whether it is original one or it is the crafted one from another tree. If you are drafted in from idolatry, all those that are drafted from Roman Catholic into the end time message, they are the one worshipping William Branham, like the Catholics are worshipping those sent this, sent that, sent this. And there are some that will come in here and say they are in the end time message and deny the power thereof. Ever learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of truth. Apostle Paul says so. They have a form of godliness, Apostle Paul says, but they deny the power thereof. And they claim they are in the message of restoration. What are you restored to? You are restored to where you came from. You are restored to your idols. Can you imagine somebody say, William Branham is infallible? What you are saying is that he is God, because only God cannot make a mistake. Some baptized in the name of William Branham, God raising them just to destroy the ministry of that man, so that the ministry will not be attractive. It's Satan, it's a satanic agenda against that glorious ministry that God gave us to prepare a group of people in this age for homegoing. I am one of them. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. That's a graft. But this time now, in the days of the voice of the seven, that's what I'm trying to explain. When he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished. I must say this at this point also, because some of them listen to me. They also tell us that William Branham has finished the whole mysteries. Therefore, no more mystery. And that is why too, you cannot come and say, thus said the Lord, there cannot be office of prophet again. The fivefold ministry of a prophet, they deny it. Only God, only the prophet. When you hear them say the prophet, they are referring to William Branham. Only the prophet has thus said the Lord. Abba! God stood still after William Branham died. Praise the Lord. And if you read it, and also they are able to read it this way, but in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when it shall begin to sound, the mysteries of God should be finished. They actually read it like this. And many of us were reading it like that too, because we were respecting those preachers who were reading it like that. And if you read some quotes from William Branham, you will also hear him mention things that the whole mystery should be finished. And so, you won't know when it's a slip of tongue, and you won't know when he's actually explaining a verse. It's one mystery. Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 3, the whole of that chapter, he was explaining what the mystery is. It's the salvation of the Gentiles. How is it a mystery? It is a mystery because it is a process of grafting contrary to nature. The one that is according to nature, you will produce the fruit of where you came from. That is natural. So there is nothing mystery about it. But the mystery there now is that you are caught from your idolatry and grafted into the vine from where Israel was caught up. By the working of a power, you begin, instead of producing the other fruit, you begin to produce the fruit of that vine. That is the mystery. Hallelujah. That's the mystery that will be rounded up in the days of the voice of the seventh angel. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. When we teach these things, we teach it passionately because we know where we stand. That's why we say, you cannot say that you are a Christian in this age and you have nothing to show for it. That if you see me, you see Christ. The truth about it is, preaching of the end time message is supposed to be easier for us than those outside there. Because we are supposed to be a group of people that have responded to a move of God. And we are supposed to be a people that are ready, anything to do, anything. That's why we have Esther. Is this how he wants? Because all your mind is heaven. Heaven. So anything you hear, and there is a witness in you that is the truth, you want to follow it. Just before the rapture, 8 things will take place. I've just explained only one. The restoration ministry. When next we come, we will look at the remaining seven. The musicians. Listen to the musicians.
In the bright city, pearly white city, I have a mansion, a harp, and a crown. Now I am watching, waiting and longing for the white city John saw coming down. In the bright city, pearly white city, I have a mansion, a house, and a crown. Now I am watching, waiting and longing for the white city just so coming down. This city is a city without never failure. It's a city where only holy things are found. Uncleanliness is not found there. Malicious characters are not found there. Apostle Paul said, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. I'm not afraid to die and meet God in that city. There's a holy and beautiful city whose builder and ruler is God. John saw it ascending from heaven when Patmos in exile drew. Oh, it's time the world is of jasper. The city itself is pure gold. And when my friends are dead,
That's our expectations. Hallelujah. And those who are sure of going there, amen. They have a pattern of life they live here. We live a life of opportunity costs.
You have two choices before you, but you can only get one. To get one, you have to forgo the other. You cannot get the two at the same time. The law of opportunity costs. We can only get one. You can't get the two. And to get one, the other one, you have to forgo it. You can't have this world and all the lifestyles of this world. And together again, with the Christian lifestyle, you want to jam the two of them. It's not possible. It can't work. It cannot work. You have to forgo one to get the other. So the choice is yours. Me, I have made my own choice. Like Joshua will say, I have made my own choice. I don't know about you. And that defines my lifestyle. That defines how I live my life here, how I relate with God, preparing, making my calling and election sure.